Welcome to Faith Point, the podcast ministry of First Southern Baptist Church of Prescott Valley, with Senior Pastor Terrell Eldredge. Our goal is to allow our faith to intersect with real life. So let's join Pastor Terrell today as he shares with us from God's Word.
Amen. Life is a journey, but we don't have to walk alone, do we? We are in the last week of Immerse. Beginnings. We've gone through for 2 months now. This is our eighth week, finishing up from Genesis through Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the Torah. And for many of you, maybe this is the first time you've read all the way through those books, and you kind of struggled through some of the chapters and some of the sections, enjoyed a lot of it, and so. I'm going to congratulate you if you've gotten this far, and now you're at the end. If you've not started reading yet for this week's reading to finish up, you only have 32 pages to read of the last portion of the book of Deuteronomy. So I encourage you to make sure you have that read and be at your discussion group on Tuesday morning, whether the men or the women's, or Thursday night. For men and women. You can come to both of them or all of them if you want to. We're going to be finishing this. Then we will come back to Immerse again in January and February of next year, just a few months away. And we've already done, again, Messiah, which is the New Testament. We've gone through now the first five books of the Old Testament. And the next one will be Kingdoms. So we'll be looking at Kingdoms as they began to come about in the Holy Land, as the Israelites have now moved in, are ready to move into the Promised Land at the end of... Oh, that's a spoiler alert. I'm sorry. Can't tell you. Got to wait till Tuesday, or when you read all the way through your 32 pages that are left for this week. Okay, so that's where we're at. So take out your Bibles today, if you would, and if you have your Immerse Bible, you're going to turn to page number 317, the bottom of page 317, top of page 318. If you have any other Bible with you, that is fine. Just find the book of Deuteronomy and turn almost to the end of it. And that's where you'll be on page, it's Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 to 20 is where we're at. So turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30 in your Bible. If it's not the Immerse Bible, I'm going to invite you to join me in a word of prayer right now. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, to be able to prepare our hearts to worship and to worship and then to know that you're here and that you're speaking to our hearts and lives. So, Father, we pray that you would speak through your word right now, that it would be relevant, that it would be important to us, that we would hear things from you that we need to hear today. And that we would do things based on that we need to do today. Father, we pray for that one or for those who are here or whether they're online with us right now listening. Father, we pray if they've never trusted Jesus to be Savior and Lord, we pray that today would be that day, that they would make that most important choice that any human being ever makes, to say yes to Jesus Christ, to say, I know I'm a sinner, I know I have a sin problem that I can't do anything about. But thank you. I believe that you came and died on a cross for me 2,000 years ago, took my sin upon yourself, paid the price with your blood, and then rose triumphantly from the grave 3 days later that I might live for eternity. So, Father, we pray they would make that choice today to let Jesus be Lord of their lives. And now, Father, speak to each of us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. It was a foggy, stormy night out on the ocean. A battleship was coming in to the harbor. Couldn't see in the dark of night. But suddenly, their radar was detecting something right in front of them. Something they didn't expect to be there. And so the captain was called very quickly. And he said, sir, the radar man said, there's something in front of us. And he said, we need to get out a message to him. And so they sent out a message for that vessel in front of us. You need to change course right now. You need to head south. Message came back, garbled on the radio. You turn south. Captain didn't take that well. The captain said, excuse me. I said you need to turn south before we run into each other. Garbled message came back again. You turn south. Captain said, we're a battleship, the United States Navy. Turn 10 degrees to the south. Garbled voice came through very calmly again. You turn 10 degrees to the south. Captain was infuriated. He said, I am the captain of the United States Navy, and I am the captain of this battleship. Turn 10 degrees to the south. Very calmly, the voice came back over the radio. I'm Seaman Second Class, the United States Coast Guard. You turn south 10 degrees. Captain was just livid. He said, turn south right now. Garbled voice came back. I'm a lighthouse. old story. Mac, you can attest to that. It's been around as long as we've had a Navy, and it's probably before our Navy even. But there are moments in our lives when we come across something that just simply says, I'm a lighthouse and I can't change directions. And we've got to decide what to do about it, don't we? There are those times that happen to all of us. There are certain laws at work in our universe that God has put in place. These are God's universal laws. They never change. They're always the same. And so they're important that we understand them. No amount of rank that we have, no amount of money that we have, no matter prestige we may have, no matter influence that we have, they just don't change. And so we looked at one last week. Last week, as we were looking at the first part of Deuteronomy, I said that there are, God has some laws and principles. And one of the principles or the laws that we looked at last week, if you might remember, was that Jesus must remain front and center in all that we do. Do you remember that? Some of you were still awake when we got that far in the sermon. And so that was where we're at, that Jesus has to be front and center in all that we do. But that's not the only irrevocable law or principle that God has. That's just one. That's one of the first ones. But there's one that follows up with that here in Deuteronomy that we also have to understand. And that is today's law or principle that we have. And that is that anyone who lives by them is blessed, and anyone who doesn't isn't. God says, I want you to put Jesus first in everything that you do, front and center in all that you do. And if you live by that, you'll be blessed. If you don't live by that, you're going to be cursed. And that sounds a little ominous, doesn't it? It sounds good on one side and not so good on the other, but it really is that simple. It's just that simple. We think that life is going to be really hard, but it isn't. It's that simple to decide, am I going to be blessed or am I going to be cursed? If I'm going to keep Jesus front and center in my life, then there's going to be a blessing. And very simply put, if I don't, then I'm not going to be blessed and I'm going to be cursed. And so God's principles are not moving targets. We want to make them moving targets. We want to say, well, if it's convenient or if I can get there, but if I can't, I'm not going to worry about it. These are not moving targets. They're fixed. They are like this lighthouse. That lighthouse wasn't going to go anyplace. The ship was going to have to decide what it was going to do, not the lighthouse, because they don't move. Lighthouses don't move. And the ship needed to move to do what? It needed to move in order to miss the lighthouse. And so you're thinking, okay, well, this is going to be easy. Then if God's principles are like a lighthouse, then I'm going to move, I'm going to miss them, and then I'll be okay. No, that's not the message, because it's just the opposite of that. We need to move in order to hit the lighthouse. We want to make sure that we don't miss the lighthouse, because the lighthouse are God's principles. It is where God says, here is blessing. And so we want to hit this lighthouse of God's blessing. We don't want to miss it, because we know where it's going to be. We need to make sure that our rudder is set, that we're going to get there, that we're going to land at the lighthouse and not miss it by 10 degrees. And so that's the message that we find here. And so this morning we'll be taking a look at the scripture passage toward the end of the Torah. It's still not quite there. I said it's 32 pages, or it's not quite 32 pages from the end, where Moses sums up these same ideas that we're talking about. Now, these are his final words, really. This is a long oratorio, but he's just telling this new generation of Israelites who are going to go into the promised land instead of their parents 40 years earlier, and now they're ready to come into the promised land. And he's telling them the backstory. He's telling them everything that's happened in this journey where their parents and now they have been on. And so his assistant Joshua is about to assume leadership, and Moses is just about ready to die. And so after 120 years, and so this is what he's talking about. And what he's talking about in terms of God's principles is a principle that leads to life. Now, life is something we hang on to dearly, isn't it? We really like life. If someone says you're going to die tomorrow, you're going to say, oh, I don't think I like that message. Could you find another one? What can I do to avoid that? And so we think, gee, I don't really want to die. I want to live. And so a lot of what we do and think about has to do with living, doesn't it? It has to do with life. This week I kind of went through some of the shelves of my library, and I was looking at things that had to do with life, and one was having to do, this is a Charles Swindoll book, The Sanctity of Life, The Inescapable Issue. And this is important even right now with today's elections that are coming up, both here especially here in Arizona, and then for a nationwide thing, it's still just a really huge issue. This issue of is it sacred, and does it apply to unborn babies, or does it apply to senior adults who are too old? Because that's where we're headed, and so especially here in Arizona. So be watching. I'm gonna share, I think in this week's newsletter, some things that focus on the family. Says about the sanctity of life, a letter that was written to those who are trying to kill unborn babies, or even babies that have been born but aren't wanted. And so be watching for that. The sanctity of life is important, and those are issues that people cannot help themselves about. One of the Bibles that I have, and many of you had, this was like back in our teenage days, first if you're my age, the Living Bible, a paraphrase. But I mean, it's living. I mean, this is God's Word. It's living, and so it's kind of like the Life Bible. And then for those of you who are woke and with it, you can get a coach for anything. You know, you can get coaches for your finances. You can get coaches for your physical well-being. You can get coaches for your dog and cat. You can get all kinds of things. But you can also get a coach, a life coach. And there are a lot of people out there who advertise themselves as life coaches. And one of the books in my is based on Lori Beth Jones, Jesus CEO, and it is Jesus Life Coach. If you got to have a life coach when you want the best, when you want the one who is the source of life, to be your coach. And so we have a life coach. And teenagers, we don't want to leave you out either. This is the life book, and I know that you've received this already, and been talking about that on Wednesday nights at your youth group, and I want to encourage you to go through it and to use it and to give it to your friends. It's going to help them. Why? Because they need to understand that there is hope, that there is life, and they can know that in Jesus Christ. One of the sort of good news about Arizona compared to most of the country right now, especially as teenagers is concerned, is that as large as the pandemic, if you will, of teenage suicide is prevalent in our world today here in the United States, it's not quite as bad in Arizona as it is in most states. But that doesn't mean that teenagers are not committing suicide. And so I brought out one book that is just the opposite of a life book. It is what you should know about suicide, because it is a pandemic. It is an epidemic in our society that people have no hope. They don't know where to go. They don't know how to find a hope in this world. They don't know how to get through till tomorrow, let alone a whole lifetime ahead. And suicide is Satan's answer. Suicide and infanticide and euthanasia are Satan's answers. But they're not God's answers. They're not the hope that we have. That is to not choose hope. That is to miss the non-changing, never-moving laws and principles of God that says, if you find them, if you run into them, and you don't change course, you're going to find blessing. It is only when you don't that you find curse. It is when you find death instead. And so Moses, 120 years old now, long oratorio, has said, it is now time for you to go into the promised land. And here's what God has done to bring us to this point. And so we're in Deuteronomy chapter 30 today, starting at verse 15. And this is what we read. Listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you're drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Verse 19 says, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. And then verse 20 ends with this. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. If you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when Moses had said those words, the Israelites were just a few months away from entering into the promised land, and where their forefathers had been promised hundreds of years earlier. And what did Moses want to do? Moses wanted to make sure that these 2.5 million people did not miss the mark, that they did not miss the cup to and did not mess it up. He said, I want to make sure that you continue to walk in the covenant with God. And he wanted to make sure that they continue to live under the blessing of God. He said, God wants to bless you. He has a place of milk and honey, a land that is going to be good for you. I don't want you to miss it. I want you to live under those blessings. And he wanted to make sure they understood three unmovable, unchangeable truths that would get them there. And so that's what we're looking at this morning. Three unmovable, unchangeable truths about living under the blessing of God. How are you going to live under the blessing of God if you don't know what the truths are? And so truth number one that never changes, it's the lighthouse that just stands firm, is this, that life is a series of recurring choices. It's a series of recurring choices. Most people, if you would ask them to define what the issues are in their life, they would probably say that their life is really a series of coincidences or circumstances. They'll say, I was just standing around and a circumstance hit me. I wasn't bothering anybody, but now I have a circumstance that's not pleasant. I was crossing the street and a car hit me. It wasn't my fault, it's just a circumstance. I got sick and it was just a circumstance. We think that life is just these random circumstances that hit us. They find us and they search us out. It's like a radar, and then they just zoom in and they just ruin our lives. And it's not my fault, it's just circumstances were there. And so that's what we think. We think that they happen, that things happen to us. You can't help it, you can't do much about it. You can have a take it as it comes and do your best as you can attitude, because life is really just these circumstances, and we're all what? We're all victims of circumstances. We're victims of circumstance. That's the prevailing attitude of the whole world, and especially here in America, that there's these circumstances and they just find us. Now, that may be what we think, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches something very different, very opposite of circumstance. The Bible teaches this, that we are not driven by circumstance. The Bible teaches that we're driven by choices we make. Every day, choices we make. That's what drives us. That's what our life is driven by. And therefore, the Bible teaches each person is responsible for his or her own life. You are responsible for your life. You're going to hit that light, that lighthouse of God's blessing, or you're going to miss it, but it'll be your choice which one happens. It is not about circumstances that will happen. And so Moses says to the people again in verse 19, today I have given you a choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. And now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. So he says, this isn't circumstance. You're not here on the edge of the promised land by circumstance. You didn't just happen by here one day. God had moved them there very specifically because of choices that they were making. They could have stayed in Egypt. They could have said, yeah, we're not going. In fact, that's at first what they said. No, we're not leaving. We're not following you, Moses. And finally, God got their attention, and they said, okay, we'll make a choice, and we will leave Egypt. And now they're at the brink of the promised land, again, by choice. They could have changed their minds. They had 40 years to change their mind again. And now they still have to make choices. And so it's not about circumstances. Joshua 24, verse 15, Joshua, who's going to become the next leader in a very short time, in fact, in the next book that we'll read and immerse in the book of Joshua, is about to take charge again. And when he does, in chapter 24, verse 15, he says, choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. He says, your life is made up of choices. It is true for all of us, no matter what age we are. Our life has choices, and we make them every day. And because they tend to be recurring choices. There are things that come up every day. Choices that you make every day over and over and over and over again. And this is how it applies to your health. Three times a day, you sit down and you make choices, right, at a table. What am I going to eat? What kind of food am I going to put in my body? And those choices determine not only how well your clothes fit, but also how good you feel, and ultimately how long you live. We make those choices many times every day. Am I going to put that in my mouth and eat it? Or am I going to say no to it? But that's just one of the recurring choices that you make all the time. Think of how that applies to your relationships. How are you going to speak to your spouse every day? Several times every day. Quite a bit every day. How are you going to listen to them? Several times every day. Quite a bit every day. What responses are you going to have? How are you going to react to that? You choose how you're going to do those things. You choose what kind of relationship that you're going to have with your spouse. And also, if you have children, how about your children? How much time are you going to spend with them? Most of you have grown children. How do you even relate to them on a regular basis? You choose how you're going to do that. It applies also to your spiritual life. You're making spiritual choices related to your spiritual life every day, over and over again. How you're going to spend your time in prayer and in Bible study and your walk with Jesus Christ. Are you going to think about him at all? Those are your choices. Nobody's going to hold a gun to your head and say, now you have to pray. For some of you, it may take a gun at your head, though, to decide to pray. But no one's going to make you pray. No one's going to make you read the Bible. And so you make some choices. And it applies to your financial life. The decisions you're making today over and over again to invest and to give. Your choices come awfully fast. They're decisions you make every day, day in, day out. Every moment when you wake up, you start making choices right away. Some of you are country music fans, and I don't know why, but you are. And for those of you who are, you know the name George Jones, most likely. George Jones, for some you know a story, for some of you don't. But he was an incredibly talented country singer. And for me, talented country singer seems like an oxymoron, but it's not in his case. He was a tremendous performer, and people loved him. But do you realize that George Jones, even though he lived into his 80s, lived most of his life in poverty? He was, most of his life, he was absolutely miserable. He sold millions and millions of records, and he had a string of number one hits, and he spent most of his adult life flat broke. Why? How does that happen? How can you sell millions of records and be flat broke? Well, mainly for him, it was due to alcohol, and then especially in the 70s, through cocaine use. And so he just drank away and snorted away a small fortune. Not even a small fortune, a pretty large fortune. He missed so many performances due to being so drunk to take the stage that, you know, he had a nickname? His nickname was No Show Jones. You could buy a ticket to his concert and it was up for grabs of whether he was going to show up or not. That was his life. But he recorded some really important songs, and maybe one of the greatest songs over the years was recorded as one of his best. He recorded this back in the I think in the 2000, maybe about 2007. But it's the name of the song is Choices, and on that It's number two there on his songs. But this is what he wrote. He said, "I had choices since the day I was born. There were voices that told me right from wrong. If I had listened, no, I wouldn't be here today, living and dying with the choices I made. I guess I'm paying for the things I have done. If I could go back, oh, Lord knows, I'd run. But I'm still losing the game of life I play, living and dying with the choices I made." Now, he died in 2013 when he was 81 years old. But the good news was, in the final 10 years of his life, he had a spiritual awakening and got right with God. And ultimately, he got sober, and he created a more stable life for himself. And I think this song maybe is indicative to those choices he was making. I think he realized all the damage he had done to his life and to his family and people around him. And when he came to Christ, he began to make choices that he had not been making in the past. Moses said it this way. He said, "You have two options." He didn't give them a third option. He didn't only give them one option. He said, "You have two options," to the Israelites. And they're the same two options we have today. The first is an option of life and prosperity, or it is the option of death and destruction. That's it. We make all these recurring choices, but they all revolve around which we want to make. Do I want to choose life and prosperity, or do I want to choose death and destruction? And interesting word that Moses uses here, just one simple word that is so powerful. It's a life-changing word. You know what that word is? It is the word choose. He said, "You choose today what you're going to have. And the quality of your life isn't determined by the breaks that you get. Oh, I would have been okay, but it was just a bad break. You know, my boss didn't like me. It's not my fault, and now I don't have a job. I broke my leg, and that's not..." You know, we get these breaks in life. It's not about breaks in life. We all have breaks that happen. But the circumstances don't drive who we are. They don't drive what God's going to do. So it's not about the breaks you get. It's determined by the choices you make. The quality of your life is always determined by the choices that you're going to make, what you're going to do with what your life is, and the opportunities that God is going to give you. And we can all say, like George Jones, that we're all living and dying with the choices we've made. Every one of us in here, no matter how old we are, we've made choices, and it's impacting who we are today. It's going to impact who we continue to be. And so, your life is made up of recurring choices. And then secondly, the second fundamental, unmovable truth that we have to understand is that life is a series of accumulated results. It is about recurring choices that I make day in and day out. Same choices sometimes every day. I have to decide every day what I'm going to eat. I have to decide what I'm going to do with my finances. Decide what I'm doing with my relationships. All of those types of things are things that we make over and over and over again. But then all of those choices accumulate into results. There is a series of accumulated results. Very few of us can say that we've never had health problems in here today, can we? Or maybe we can say we've never had money problems. They come into all of our lives. But do you realize that sickness rarely arrives in your life uninvited? It doesn't just drop in from nowhere. We often put out the welcome mat for it. So come and find me. Come and get me. I made choices to make sure that you can find me. Now, I'm not saying that every time you get sick or if you get a disease or if you have an ailment that it is because of all the choices you've made. Sometimes God just allows those things to happen. In Job's case, he allowed Satan to really mess up Job's life, but it was a test for Job, and for Paul it was the same thing. And so sometimes it's just life, and sometimes our body, you know, we're given a certain number of days to live, and so because of our old nature, we're not going to live for eternity in this world, which is good, because who wants to live here for eternity? You know, we'd rather be in heaven. And so we're all going to pass away, but there are a lot of things that happen physically to us through diseases and other ailments to come that we've put the welcome mat out for. And so we're saying, okay, you know, come and get me. You know, it just has to do with our terrible health-related habits that we have, the way that we eat and the lack of exercise and all those other kinds of things. And I'm not preaching to the choir, I'm preaching to me right now. I mean, those are things that we do that cause a lot of, or don't do, that cause a lot of problems. And we make those choices not to do them. And then the same thing, we could say the same thing about our relationships. They very seldom fail without some kind of warning coming. They happen, but a lot of times because we put out the welcome mat for them. And things happen in your life, good or bad, aren't just random occurrences. They're not circumstance. They're results. They're the effect of a specific cause because of lifestyle choices that we have made. And there's nothing mysterious about blessings and curses that you experience in your life. They should be expected because of our lifestyles, either the blessings or the curses. Because one lifestyle leads to blessing and another lifestyle will lead to curses in our lives. And many people create certain negative results for themselves. And then what do? We blame God because of it. We blame God. Solomon, the wisest man ever lived, in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 3, said, people ruin their lives with their own, what? Foolishness. And then they are angry at the Lord. He said, they cause it, and they blame it on God. And they get mad at God. And there's this important distinction that we need to make. Some people want to know, why does God punish people for doing wrong? You ever wonder that? You ever say that out loud? You ever heard other people say that? Why does he punish people for doing wrong, for sinning? And here's what I want you to understand this morning especially. Technically, God doesn't punish you for doing the wrong thing. Why not? He doesn't have to. Because something happens. The wrong thing itself punishes you. The choice you made to do wrong brings its own punishment. It brings its own curse. You choose to have that happen. God doesn't create pain in your life as a payback for committing sin. The sin itself creates the pain in your life. It creates the pain in your relationships. It creates the pain in your bank account. You made the choices. And the result is what you get from the choices you make. Because sin only leads to death and destruction. And so when you choose sin, when you choose to miss the lighthouse, you say, I am not changing, I'm changing course so I miss the lighthouse, then you can expect that in that sinful act is going to bring an amount of pain in one form or another. But it's because you chose that. You're making that choice for that. That's why Moses said in verse 16, again here in Deuteronomy, he said, for I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you're about to enter and occupy. He said, if you hit the lighthouse, that's what's going to happen. And it's going to be good. You're going to enjoy that. Then he said, though, remember in verses 17 and 18, but If your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you're drawn away to serve and worship other gods, in other words, if you choose to sin, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long and good life in the land you're crossing the Jordan to occupy. He said it's your choice to the people, and it's our choice today. And so why did God say they would be destroyed? Because he's a bully? And because he wants to hurt them and get even with them? No, they're going to be destroyed because false gods don't have the power to protect them or to bless them or to lead them into a life of prosperity. False gods are just that, they're false. And Satan doesn't want anything good for your life. Ultimately, his desire is to devour and destroy you. And he will use your choices, that capability you have to choose to destroy your life, if you choose to let him do that. So there's this principle of Scripture that I suppose you could call, and this is not any kind of a theology book anywhere that I've ever seen, but it should be, the principle of inevitable destination, we're going to call it. The path you take can only take you where the path itself leads. It is inevitable. There's a destination out there that is inevitable. And it has to do with the road or the path that you choose to go on. Because the road you're on, the path you're on, can only take you where you're going. Let me give you an example. Say that you are in Phoenix, Arizona, and you decide you want to go to Flagstaff. How are you going to get there if you're driving? You'll get on the I-17 north, aren't you? That's it. I mean, that's like it. I mean, you could go like to another state and come around or something, but you sort of have one road, don't you? And so you get on I-17 and you start driving north from Phoenix to Flagstaff. In fact of the matter is, I-17 north from Phoenix to Flagstaff, if you stay on it, can only end in one place, Flagstaff, because that's where I-17 ends. But it ends there. Now, you can go to other places, but you have to get off of the path, don't you? But if you're on that path and you want to go to Flagstaff and you're on your way to Flagstaff, you're good. You're going to go there because that's the place I-17 north goes if you are in the south. If you're down in Phoenix, that's where you're going to be. And some of you are trying to get to specific destinations even today in your life, but you're on the wrong road. And you're wondering why you're not getting there. You say, well, I'm moving, I'm trying, I'm going someplace, but I'm just not getting where I want to be. And you don't know why, or you haven't figured it out yet. Some of you are, you're wanting to arrive at happiness, but you're taking the wrong road. You're on the road to selfishness to get there. You say, well, if I just had a bunch of stuff, I would be happy, and so I'm on a road to selfishness. But selfishness doesn't lead to happiness. Doesn't matter how far you travel that way. Some of you want to arrive at security, but you have taken the road of greed to get there. So if I'm looking for security, then I'm just going to get, and never give at all. I'm not going to be generous. I'm just going to get, and hold on to it. It doesn't get you there. Some of you want to get to marital bliss, but you've taken the road of making demands to get there. I will demand that my spouse act a certain way. And then you wonder why there's not marital bliss going on. Let me share a very simple truth with you. If you travel the road of selfishness, or greed, or impatience, or lust, or materialism, or anger, these roads never lead anywhere good. They just don't. They're not intended to. Those aren't roads that God gives to you. Those are roads that Satan gives, and you choose which you want to be on. Am I going to take roads that God has given me, or am I going to give roads that Satan has given me? Why don't they lead to anywhere good? because they always take you to one dead end after another. Just going to take you to one dead end after another. And what you're experiencing in your life today, both good and bad, is the results of the roads you've taken so far in your life. Each one of us is sitting here, standing here, saying, well, this is I've arrived a few places I wanted to be, and I've arrived a lot of places I didn't want to be. And I guess it is because I chose to go to those places. I chose those paths to be on. And where you arrive tomorrow is going to be determined by the path that you choose to take today. That's just the way life is designed. And the road you're on can only lead to one place. That's because life is a series of accumulated results, and they're determined by the directions you take. And that leads to a third truth that we have to understand. And that is, life is a series of individual days. It's a series of just individual days. And there are two words here, depending on if you're reading, if we're reading in the New Living Translation that Immerse is, it's a one word. Most other versions, a lot of them are two words. King James, for example, it's two words. But it's in chapter 30, verse 15. This is how it starts out. In our Immerse Bible, it says, today, I'm giving you a choice. Today. Underline that word today in your Bible, if you would. If you have a King James Version Bible, it says, I have set before thee this day. So today, or this day. And so depending on what version of the Bible, it's going to be one of those two, usually. Today or this day. Talking about the same thing. This day matters more than any other. There was a well-known football, NFL football coach. And one day, sports commentator Chris Collinsworth was talking about a player who'd done well in college and had been drafted, I mean, just recruited, highly drafted in the first round of the NFL draft, got on his team, got his first big contract, and he thought he had it made, and he thought he could just cruise from that point on. And he washed out very quickly from the NFL. And Collinsworth seemed to have that in mind when he was talking about the former NFL coach Jerry Glanville. Jerry Glanville coached the Houston Oilers, so you know he's going back a ways, and then the Atlanta Falcons in the NFL. And he said Coach Jerry Glanville used to say, time and time again, that NFL stands for not for long. Not for long. You have to prove yourself again and again and again every day. And so today, all across America, there are guys on 30-some teams who are out there, and they are trying to prove themselves, because if they don't prove themselves today, they may not be starting next week. And if they're not starting next week, they may get put on the practice squad. And if they're on the practice squad, they just may be kicked out. Every day. Doesn't matter what your contract is, you have to put up or shut up. You have to try. And that's also how life is. Talked about moving to a specific destination, but the truth is that we never get to the point where we actually arrive in this lifetime. We can keep moving in the right direction, but there's always more to do. And as long as we have breath, the journey continues. Much like the little video that we just saw. Life's a journey. It just keeps going and going until the day that we go home to be with the Lord, if we're going the right direction. And as long as we have breath, the journey continues, and you never get to the point where you don't have to prove yourself again and again, day after day. You're not earning your salvation. It's not saying that I am going to be in heaven. It just says, am I going to be heaven ready? Am I going to be Christ-like in my life here on earth? Imagine you're back on the I-17 North, and you're driving along, and suddenly you realize the error of your ways. You say, yikes, I'm going north. I'm going toward Flagstaff. There's a sign, Flagstaff, 100 miles away. I was going to the Mexican border. I'm headed the wrong way. So you have to make a choice, don't you? You can say, gee, I need to make a U-turn somehow, get turned around and head the opposite direction. Or some of you might say, yeah, but I kind of like this ride. I kind of like the scenery. I'll just keep going this way. And then sooner or later, I can just turn around, but I'm just going to drive further up and see what it's like up toward Flagstaff. And then I may go back. And there's people, you know what you do? People will get on I-17 and never get off. They'll go north for a while, then they'll turn around and they'll go south for a while. And then they turn around and go north for a while, and then they turn around and go south for a while. And every day, they're just making no progress. I know people who live their lives that way. They're making no progress. It's like, I know when I woke up this morning, this is crazy, but I'm going the wrong direction, but I kind of like it, and I'm just going to keep going that way. I don't really care. I'm enjoying the results at the moment. These are people who never make spiritual progress in their lives, never see Christ's likeness developing in their lives and being abundantly apparent to everybody else. Because they're just going over the same territory every day again and again and again. I want you to understand that every day matters. I often encourage you to take a look at the big picture. And today I'm reminding you that the big picture, the master painting of your life, is a matter of thousands of individual strokes of the brush on the picture, on the painting. In order for your painting of your life to become a masterpiece, each and every stroke of the brush must be taken seriously. And so Moses is telling us, live today like it matters, because it does. Every day matters in your life. Unfortunately, I know a lot of people who think that they are forever excluded from any chance of being blessed by God because of their past sins, because of the choices that they've made in the past. They'll say things like, God can never bless me financially because I've been so irresponsible up to this point with the money he's given to me. Or God can never bless my marriage because I've been a terrible spouse. Or God cannot use me because I've already failed too many times. And that's just not true. Your life is right now the accumulation of the choices that you've made, but it doesn't have to stay that way. If it's not what's glorifying God, if your life is not at that point where you can say, Christ is shining in me, then that can change right now. Your past choices have brought you to where you are today, and there's no question about that. We're all living and we're dying with the choices that we've made, good or bad. But the good news is, if you spent your life making the wrong choices and moving in the wrong direction, then you're free to choose a new path. You're not stuck on the I-17. You can get off on a different path, and you can trust God to make those changes in your life, changes of blessing that he has in store for you. Moses stood before the people of Israel, and he said, I have set before thee this day. You know what the greatest truth of the Christian life is? It is that the past doesn't equal the future. Your past is not determining your future if you don't want it to. You can choose otherwise. At any given time, you can change the direction of your life. At any given time, you can walk out into the land, out of the land of curses into the land of blessing. God has set before you life and death, blessings and curses. The choice is yours. Choose life. Let's pray together. Father, right now, it is time for some to choose life. To step off of the direction they've been headed. To find a different path, a different road that leads to blessings rather than curses. That leads to life rather than death. Father, we pray, if there's even one, again, who needs to make that choice, we pray that right now they would simply say, Jesus, forgive my sin. I turn my life over to you. I want you to be Lord. I want to make choices that are in accordance with your will. Allow your Holy Spirit to lead me into those choices. And I will follow. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for the promises that you make to us. The promise of life. And now, as we make those choices, may Jesus be blessed. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing. If God's speaking to you, won't you come as we sing? If you need to pray with someone, if you want to ask someone about salvation or baptism, whatever it might be, you come.
Thank you for joining us today for Faith Point. Reach us online at firstsouthernpv.org or stop by to worship with us if you are in the Prescott Valley area. May God richly bless you today as you allow your faith to intersect with your life.